Recording in progress.
Hey Guru, hello,
Jai Guru.
hello.
Jai
Hello.
Guru. Jai Guru.
Right.
Hello, hello.
Curious, can I be heard?
Yeah, I can hear
Yeah,
you.
oh, okay. I'm on a
It
new
seems to
computer.
echo a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. It's a only 4 gigabyte laptop, and hopefully there'll be no problems. Like echoing or something.
Yeah, do you have like headphones on or?
No. No.
Okay. Because sometimes
Sometimes
if it, like it's
like
hearing
hearing
through your
through your
speakers my
my
voice.
voice.
And
Oh,
then
and then
projecting it
projecting
back
it
to
back to
us
us.
through your
Oh, through the
speakers.
speakers. Oh.
That's why,
That's why,
you know.
because it's not very loud here.
No, but
No,
I
but
mean,
I
see, I mean,
is it doing that?
echo, echo, echo,
Oh,
echo,
no.
echo.
Is that
Yeah.
annoying? Yeah.
Well, it'll be
Well,
annoying
yeah.
for the people when they listen to it on the recording. Yeah. So I'll get little
So I
things.
guess it's a computer. I've never used it for this purpose, and maybe it's not good for this purpose.
Well, I mean, it just requires a headphone. If you even if you have just cheap headphones like these,
Oh,
you
if I got headphones,
yeah, just plug it in because what's happening right now is that I'm oh, now it's not doing it.
it's not doing
I don't
it.
hear myself anymore. No. Okay, so whatever you did, you fixed it.
It
Okay, that's even better. See that? A spontaneous occurrence without you having to take ownership or doership of the action.
not doing without even trying.
You go.
However,
And
well,
that ends
lucky.
our session. See that? The computer knows it's not the doer and just did.
Staying consistent. I probably could turn on
Oh no, don't do anything because if you do something, then you might make, you know, like doing nothing fix the problem. If you try to take, you know, the wheels of I am going to do something start turning, then that's when illusory problems start popping up for us to observe.
It's like a lucid dream gone bad.
Indeed. Which brings us to our question. Someone asked how to stay a selfless self all the time and not going to the world anymore. And you can never not be yourself because, of course, you're yourself. And the world is within you. And once you know yourself in a real sense, you sit in meditation. At first, the subtle sense of presence. Oh. Then you identify as the presence. Then the knowingness that the presence is there, whether the presence is there or not, I am, and that's it. And then the world is finished. But the world is finished actually at the stage of identifying yourself with presence, because it doesn't make sense how anything could be happening or how you could actually be doing anything as formless presence. And you say, well, I see John does these things. This body is moving, but all the bodies are moving and they're all you. So the energy is moving all of the inanimate forms. That's the presence. But they're all you. So there's no like distinction between anything. So knowing yourself in a real sense, even if it's just the subtle, subtle, just the I am, the very first sense of existence. Then you're not in the world anymore. You can't be. How? Or you could say, like we talked about the air, I breathe in the air, it's my air. It's inside this body right now. I breathe out, it's the world's air. But air is air.
You know, I kind of wonder the same thing sometimes as the questioner, and it seems like sometimes it's the sense of being selfless or free of self sort of takes over, and it becomes a more like a consistent presence than coming and going like I usually seem to judge it as coming and going.
Heath. Heath.
What's that?
Ah, see, you answered to Keith. But nobody has to keep telling you and reminding you, you're Keith, you're Keith, you're Keith. This is known and accepted. The conviction is that you answer to Keith. You're Keith. Yes, the body that you're holding is labeled Keith. So in meditation, when you sit there and you identify with the sense of presence doesn't have to be there all the time. You know, you don't have to be concentrating on it. As a matter of fact, you won't be, because there won't be a you to concentrate. The concentration is dissolving the concentrator. So when you say, oh, Keith, and you said, yeah, then this is known. Yes, this body that is labeled Keith, you respond to Keith. When you know yourself in a real sense, you're formless presence. You don't have to keep reminding yourself. You don't have to keep looking for yourself. Now, what you could do is, if you're caught up in the worldly illusion and you recognize this, then you can just kind of drop back into yourself and refresh your memory. Oh, okay, I'm good. So that you're not carried away with the illusory existence. But other than that, once you know the conviction is there, I am that, then there's no need to keep reminding. Just as when you say, hey, Keith, and you say, yeah, okay, this conviction is there. You answer to Keith. The body form that you are holding is Keith. And the truth is, the selfless self that you are is holding the body form labeled Keith. And also Andrew and Alan and John and everybody. All the people you know are your own self. And are within your own self. That's the other thing, because the formlessness, that's why if you break it down, some people will talk about the universal consciousness and then the individual consciousness. Only because there's identification with the body can there be the concept of individual consciousness. But consciousness is consciousness. When you know yourself that you are not body, then how can there be an individual consciousness and a universal consciousness? It cannot. So it's universal consciousness with the concept impressed for a time that I'm limited to this body form, and this is my consciousness. Just as the air, I'm breathing in the air, and I can say, the air is in my lungs. It is my air. Then I breathe it out. Oh, now it's universal air. But it's the same. So consciousness that's everywhere, due to identification with a body form, believes that now this consciousness is within this head region, and believes that now there's a thinker thinking thoughts. And does it based on the perspective of the view of a limited object in an objectified world. Oh, I'm this object and there's another object. So there's no need to keep refreshing. You know, oh, I have to keep this sense of presence all the time. No, your presence, now you know this. Go about your job, do your job, do your duties. If you do start to fall under the pressure of the illusory world, which you shouldn't, because A, you have bhajan. And if you're actually like listening to those a couple times a day, or some very advanced singers are singing them, that's very nice. You can sing them if you like. I personally listen to them. You listen to them a couple of times a day, and it kind of puts you in that spiritual atmosphere. You read a little bit of Nisargadatta, a little bit of Sri Ramakant Maharaj, a little bit of Siddhar Meshra Maharaj here and there. Okay, putting you, I do it every morning just on my way for commuting, but that's just like kind of become this thing that I do. But that's it. Then you know yourself. Even when you're reading the books, you don't get lost and say, oh, see, even the books in the beginning, they seem like, wow, it would be really great to be able to experience that. But the truth is, they're talking about a non-experiencing experience. But then as you start to read it, you start to know, oh, like Maharaj says, this is my story. And Krishna says, I'm all, and I'm in the hearts of all, and I've been here, you know, this is, it, or Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am, this is that, that you are. And there's not a like, am I or aren't I? Because once you've sat in meditation, and if there's still an am I or aren't I, what these books are saying, because you're verifying as you remain with your selfless self, you're verifying in your own experience, your direct experience, and then all the books are then reinforcing. Yes. You know, Siddhar Meshra Maharaj has discovered the same. Sri Ramakant Maharaj has discovered the same. Yes, there is a discovery here of the same. This is the truth. And now the only obstacle is if I remain holding on to the discoverer. Because the whole concept of discovering is to remove all the illusion, all the illusory ash, until there's only you. Where all experience ends, there you are.
Suppose it what seems to be gradually becoming self-evident, all the stuff that you're talking about.
Of course. The more you investigate yourself, since it's the truth, it will erase the illusion of the things that you are not, and the one to whom this investigation has started will dissolve within the investigation. You know, there will come a time when there's nothing left to dissolve, and yet, oh, there you are.
Yeah, it's like you know, sometimes I form these conceptual ideas and think that that's helping me, and that was interesting last night. Or last week, right near the end, you pointed out how I was getting conceptual about saying that everything in the bubble of illusion is based on desire and bias. And then you kind of cut me off and said that's all conceptual. And that just like brought me right to presence or something. Just when you said that, it's like that was kind of... you know, part of erasing what seems to be seems to not be erased. But anyway, what was I going to say? What I consider my typical mental state, I'm looking for answers, sort of like ahead of, before they come. They will come. I see now that the answers do come by themselves, kind of like in clarification. But
any answer in word is going to be false.
What's that?
Any answer in word is going to be false. That's why our lineage is so beautiful about the mantra. The mantra is erasing all the concepts slowly, silently, and permanently, but it's not building on those concepts. You know, you're not saying like, oh, if you do this, let's say you say, if you start doing selfless service, then you're going to start to feel this, or you're going to start to do this. And then there's a something to do. There's nothing to do. That's why our lineage, okay, erasing, you use mantra to erase the knowledge. It reveals, because it's self-revealing. Like you said, I'm starting to self, like reflect and realize, oh, so that I am that. And you don't want to build any kind of conceptualizations, even consciousness. You know, some lot of you get stuck, oh, consciousness, and what's consciousness? And then there's consciousness and the absolute, and what's the absolute, and all this. These are just words, and they're only pointing to this. This not this. It's just I, the knowingness, the that you are. It's funny because years ago when I was reading Ramana Maharshi, I thought like it was like he's saying different things and this and that. But I'm going through and I'm reading this Ramana Maharshi book right now, and I'm seeing number one that the people that wrote the books were writing from the perspective of like Commander so and so and such from America had a question of this. And then Ramana Maharshi's answer is like very boom, direct. And he's pointing the same thing. But the book is so bogged down in like Alan from Canada, who is a doctor and who is visiting with his wife coming to India, has a question about it's like who cares? Like, but it spends so much time like building up from the human perspective that Maharashi's actual teaching, which is the same as all, is kind of it doesn't strike. And I just started reading it and I was like, wow, because I remember year, like I said, probably 8 or 9 years ago, I had read some Ramana Maharshi and I was like, okay, this is because I was listening to Muji and stuff, so I listened to that. But it was that's why this direct, you don't want to build concepts. And I know Ramana Maharshi was not building the concepts, but many of his kind of, it seems, the followers who were writing the books were very deeply into conceptualizing what Ramana Maharshi was saying in a way that made it just not like the very simple, breaking it down very simple. Like Nisargadatta Maharaj, just sitting there smoking and talking absolute truth and just pouring out. It's any concepts that we talk about and we hold on to are going to create an entire world that then we need to remove. Because the belief that what we're holding on to is true will be so strong that we will not have the courage to release that. This is why Sri Ramakant Maharaj, there were people who had just come around walking around Arunachala for like 100,000th time, and one guy was living in a cave and all this. And Maharaj was like, why? Prior to beingness, were you walking around Arunachala? Prior to beingness, were you living in a cave and doing these prayers forever? No. But these are the concepts. Or I remember too the sadhus when they all came to town. 50 million saints and sadhus came to Nashik for the Kumbh Mela. And Maharaj, as we were driving in the car, was just like, not like you would think, because these are saints and sadhus, that it would be like some kind of ceremony, pomp and ceremony and thing. And it was not this. I'm not saying there wasn't respect, but there was not any kind of, there was no conceptualizing. There was no building up of anyone or anything, even Maharaj. Because at first, when he was speaking, he would say, "You can't go anywhere else." And I thought, "Uh-oh, like this guy's gonna like lock the doors and all that," because he kept saying, he said, "This is the last stop. There's no need to go anywhere else. This is the," and I was like, "Whoa!" Like it from a humanized perspective as an individual listening to this, I think, uh-oh. But that's what he was saying, was this is the last stop. You don't have to keep going around the spiritual circuit in the Ganges River, believing that you're clean and all this. The only way you can clean yourself is to remain with your selfless self, and selfless self through selfless self, the concentrator and the concentration. And then this concentrator that believed there was some kind of separate something dissolves. This is cleaning in the Ganges. This is bathing every day. That pure recognition, that self-evident, you are that.
In Das Bode, they talks about discrimination, and it seems like it's becoming. Sometimes it's automatic discrimination, of like sort of like neti neti without even practicing neti neti or something. It's like you know what is not you.
Well, when you know yourself in a real sense, it eliminates hundreds of thousands of years in sitting in a cave and saying, I am not the water. I am not the sky. I am not the flowers. I'm not the rabbits. I'm not the this. You could go on for endless. Or you can sit quietly with your own self, see what's there, this sense of presence, this just I, put all the focus and all the attention on this. Mantra helps to clear away all the illusory layers so that this fire that's always there is burning bright. And there's no more ash covering it. Then do your job, do your duties, take care of all your responsibilities. Bhajans are important because you want to keep that spiritual atmosphere.
Would you say that selfless self has something akin to memory ability?
No. Does the air or the sky know sky? Sky doesn't even know itself. Like it's space. You're asking if what after you're no longer experienced as this body form Keith, if you remember that there was a Keith?
That's not why I guess I'm asking that because it seems, you know, from my usual limited perspective, it seems like that's the memory is always involved. And I was thinking that memory might have a liberating aspect to be liberated from memory to where it's like no longer memory, it's just immediate awareness of, but it can form it seems like maybe it can form. I'm trying to get a formulate. I guess I'm trying to formulate a reason for the experience of limitation. And
there's no reason. Again, it's like you lay down and sleep at night and you dream, and whatever's going on inside your dream is just happening. There's no reason for any of it. You might have watched a television program and then gone to sleep and replayed what the program was. Or you might have not even bothered with that and dreamt about flying. Like there's no reason, it's spontaneous occurrences. And as far as what you're saying, when you're no longer experiencing as Keith, then you're still experiencing as all these others. And yet you, that you are, is not actually experiencing. Because we lay down at sleep at night, we have this body. We'll say Keith. Keith is sleeping. There's nothing, right? Keith goes off. He's in like what we call deep sleep. For lack of a better term, you don't know anything about anything. You know, you're just there. And then there's a little bit of knowingness that happens, and a dream world is instantly.
Well, that little bit of knowingness, that's where I think that it could have something to do with memory.
No, it's just a little bit of, there's a stirring. You exist, there's existence, and consciousness kind of springs up and creates a dream world. You could dream about things that you've never actually seen before. It's called imagination. And so there's no need for memory to have imagination.
Well, you have to remember, there has to be like an impression of something that forms something else. And that's sort of like could be considered related to memory. Like you can't remember a
You're
podium,
formless.
unless you
Where
see
is
what.
this memory going to be stored? If I asked you to store a memory in the space in the room, how would you do that?
Imagination.
But even that, you'd have to go through the object of consciousness, which is you're going as all. You wake up. Yes, you're here. You know the world that you were just in wasn't true, but it seemed true because for a time you were dreaming. Consciousness, yes, identification with a little dream body gave the perspective, the limitedness. This is again universal consciousness, your dream consciousness, whatever you want to call it, has the concept of being a limited object within this dream world and starts experiencing, seeing, and believing from this perspective. Now, within this dream, this experience can be impressed on this little dream character that you are. But when you wake up, it's known as not true. So this little dream character that you believed yourself to be is gone. Because he never was. So any dreams, ideas, hopes, experiences, what?
It's all very immediate, so that's why there's no memory.
In order to have memory, you have to have some kind of place to store a memory. Where would you store a memory? You're talking about the memory of what? Because you keep saying your memory, like Keith. If Keith did something, then it's going to be stored in like the universal consciousness data bank under Keith. But no, because you're providing the power for everything, but you're not actually involved in anything. Space cannot be involved in any of the activities occurring within it. The dreamer that's dreaming, the consciousness, even the consciousness in which all of this is appearing in the dream and the limited dream body that you're identifying with, is all completely apart. Correct? If you're swimming, your body's not wet in the outside world. Outside the bubble of illusion that we'll call dream, you're not wet. Correct?
In the dream.
Correct. If you dream that you're swimming, do you wake up wet?
Right.
So you're totally separate and apart. And yet there is the appearance of being something.
So yeah, I'm just trying to figure this out before it becomes self-evident, I guess. So that's, I'm putting the cart before the horse or something.
Once you know yourself in a real sense, this entire world, like you cannot interact with this world except through this vehicle for a time. And even the actions that are happening are not being done by the formless presence. They're being done within the bubble of illusion, as in the dream. That's why Maharaj rightly says, nothing is happening, nothing has happened, nothing will ever happen. Nothing is there except your selfless self. There's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no master. Nothing is there. And when did you come across with memory? When you came across with the body. Mind, ego, intellect, you came across with the body. But you are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain body. Which, when you know yourself in a real sense and you know you are not body, then anything that the body does or is doing or has done was not done by you. It was done by that little dream character. That little dream body that you identified with for a time as yourself.
Is it all going to be erased?
In the actual dream, you wake up, dream is gone. For you, in your limited kind of waking dream body, you could say that when this body is no more, the dream of Keith is no more. But we've all gone to funerals, yes? And you see, there is a body, which is a lump of the five elemental goo, no longer animated by the presence, and yet I'm in this body, still here, to see this. But I didn't die in that body or in this body, nor was I born in that body or this body, because there's no individuality. There's formless presence that you are. That's it. Nothing. This is why, you know, as you grow older, you bury your parents. And the experience of presence, consciousness in the body of the parents is five elemental goo. It's put in the ground. And yet you're in this body form seeing this. Experiencing as this is no longer there, but the dream creation, because this I exist is not individualized. It's a knowingness because of a limited body form, but it's not individualized. It's not like at Vegas or something where it's like all the bodies being born. It's like ding 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 ding. You know what I mean? It's not like pouring into all of this. It's not like that.
I think it's called the I am body.
The I am body?
The all body of the I am body. Just big.
Right,
not individualized.
Like
yeah.
Supra causal or something like that, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a. You'll never be without the bubble of illusion as long as there's a body form available. All your experiences, everything you've ever known, everything you've ever done has been within the bubble of illusion. The long waking dream, which you then wake up from when this body is no longer sustaining the essence, then it limp of five elemental goo goes back in the ground. Returns to the five elements. That's why Maharaj says you're leasing for a time.
I like the term individual localizations of the infinite consciousness.
Yeah, Maharaj says like local identification.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the and local identification is false.
It's false.
The localized identity or the local identification? Yes, there's no local identification. You are that. There is. When you sit in meditation, the sense of presence, whether this presence is here or not, you are.
Well, we use this body while we're here.
Yes.
While we have it.
Yes, yes. It's available. So, yep.
Available.
Do your job. Do your duties.
Yeah.
If you need medicines, take medicines. You need to go to the doctor, go to the doctor. But on the day when the doctor says, oh, I'm sorry, you only have like 10 more days, you absolutely know no one's born, no one's dying.
Yeah. But
one telescope is no longer seeing. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say that there's not really a you, small y, going to the doctor or anything like that. It's just...
Correct. Well, within the bubble of illusion, there's the appearance of this five elemental goo with the consciousness or whatever sort of identified as this, and another consciousness saying, you only have 10 days. But the one who only has 10 days cannot die, cannot be born, cannot It can't be cut, burned, nothing. Because you never were that limited something that is now being diagnosed as only living 10 days. That's why Nisargadatta Maharaj used to say, I'm not concerned with the cancer. The cancer is for the I am, and I'm not that. I am presence, selfless self. Whenever you self without self, self without any other concept of being something, just I, just I. But this, again, the door on the other side of this door, the other side of here's I am, here's the worldly existence, the appearance of the world, and here's you, that you are. The knowingness I exist then has a world. The other side of I exist is the one who exists without the knowledge of existence or non-existence or ignorance or knowledge.
Memory is of the dream character.
Yeah, and only within the dream.
Only within the dream.
Mm-hmm. Other than, like, okay, John is no more, and people talk, oh, what about John, this and that. You could say this is memory, because other limited identification is speaking in the dream world about a character that's no longer there. So you could say that's the memory of John within consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
But again, if you know I am not body, I was not body, I'm not going to remain the body, you're no longer thinking that thinking is here. You're no longer saying like, oh, my thoughts are here, because you're not a body. So how can you have thoughts confined to your head? No, thoughts are now the entire worldly existence. And you, this